AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News House Speaker Election. I'm Mike Dubusky. On Capitol Hill,
for the meeting of the 119th Congress of the United States, the House will come to order.
The crucial House Speaker election is about to get underway. Mike Johnson can only afford to lose one Republican vote. ABC's Jay O'Brien has the latest.
There are 17 or so undecided Republicans at this hour, and they haven't come out and said if they've made up their mind, despite many of them meeting with Johnson over the course of the holidays and the new year and then up until yesterday. House Speaker Mike Johnson saying that he's confident that he's done enough, that these conversations are going well, that he believes he can win on the first ballot, but the reality is, according to House leadership sources that I've talked to, they are preparing for what could be a bruising process here.
Walking into the chamber, Johnson told ABC News, if he does lose that first ballot, it's just part of the process and that he's here for the long haul. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin election officials are launching an investigation into how nearly 200 absentee ballots went uncounted in Madison. The Wisconsin Elections Commission voted unanimously to investigate whether Madison City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel-Bell failed to comply with state law or abused her discretion. According to commission documents, the clerk's staff told the commission December 18th that they had discovered 193 absentee ballots from the November 5th election that hadn't been counted. Witzel-Bell's office said the ballots were found in a courier bag and inside a tabulator. The clerk's office said in a news release December 26th that the ballots didn't affect the outcome of any race or referendum. Congress passed an extension of the Farm Bill, a relief for many farmers. But that means they're working with benefits and prices that were negotiated 6 years ago. On top of that, President-elect Donald Trump has promised to cut government costs across the board, add potential tariffs to the equation, and experts are worried about the agriculture industry. Paul Mitchell is an agriculture and economics professor at UW-Madison.
So my real worry is that agriculture will be collateral damage for the new administration as they pursue other political priorities where, you know, agriculture is not their number one priority. And they will take the cost of agricultural hurt to address these issues they want to address that would partly help them get elected.
Mitchell says old prices aren't the only problem with extending the current farm bill. He says crop insurance and conservation programs are at risk. A reminder to slow down when driving in the winter. Drivers need to keep in mind that posted speed limits are for the best conditions possible on the roads. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks lose to the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, for the second time in a week, the Bucks lose at home to the Brooklyn Nets. The final 113-110. The Bucks trailed by as much as 24 points. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Yeah, two completely different games to me. I mean, the first game the other night, Giannis was barely moving, getting back. Tonight, I just thought their defensive intensity, we literally didn't run much offense tonight, and you saw the difference.
NFL, the Packers getting ready to host the Chicago Bears Sunday. Three Packer players named to the Pro Bowl. Defensive players Rashawn Gary and Xavier McKinney. On offense, running back Josh Jacobs, who left the Raiders to come to Green Bay, earning his third career trip to the Pro Bowl.
I feel like if you go about things the right way, you come in every day willing to work, then all the accolades and all the other kind of things, it'll take care of itself in the end. So I just come in and, you know, try to be a better version of me each day, and I guess I'm reaping that right now.
That's the Packers' Josh Jacobs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today and cold, with high temperatures tapping 20 degrees and wind chills really feeling more like the single digits as winds are whipping out of the northwest, gusting around 25 miles per hour. They won't quit tonight, so it'll really be feeling near 10 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 18 degrees at our studios.
Matt and Air on Air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jade, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll recap the weekend's news, and we bring back Beyond the Cheese. Wisconsin Knitwear is featured. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our outstanding producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, TGIF, January 3rd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, coming to you from beautiful downtown Madison, Wisconsin, the capital, just down the street from where on Monday we will have our state legislative inaugurations for both the state Senate and state assembly. But today, all eyes are focused in our nation's capital, in Washington, D.C., where at this hour, underway in the United States House of Representatives, the vote for Speaker of the House. Only two people were nominated. In the nominating speeches, incumbent Republican Representative Mark Johnson of Louisiana and Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat from Bronx, New York. Queens, I believe he's from. Hakeem Jeffries. I can tell you at this hour, it is 68-67. Now 68-68. Here's the bottom line. Mike Johnson can only afford to really lose one vote because one of his members has said absolutely unequivocally he is not voting for Johnson. That means that Johnson can really only lose one more member, assuming that everybody else votes for him and all the Democrats vote for Jeffries, which the Democrats, by the way, came out and said that that's what they're committed to, unlike earlier this year when they bailed the Speaker out, Mike Johnson, and the Republicans by voting with them to save Mike Johnson, by voting with them to get a continuing resolution. Democrats say they're unified, and today Republicans are on their own. Mike Johnson on his own. Here's what's interesting at this hour. So far, two people who were considered, two members of the Republican caucus who were considered on the fence, have voted with Johnson. That's good news if you're Mike Johnson and the Republicans. Here's the kicker. Three other Republican members who were said to be on the fence, who are noncommittal, have thus far not been present. Their names were called and they were not in the chamber. However, they were here for what's called a quorum call, basically taking attendance. So we know that those members are in Washington. They very well could be in the Capitol proper, but simply not on the House floor. If those three members do not come back at the end and vote for Johnson, we'll have to go to at least one more ballot. So things are tenuous at best right now for Speaker Mike Johnson. As the vote is being called, we have it live for you right now. We're going to continue to follow it. We'll bring you live updates here as we go throughout the afternoon. Why is this so important? Well, a couple of different things. We talked about this yesterday. And whether or not whomever you voted for president, in order for our government to work, in order for it to function, we have another important day, which, of course, will live in infamy, January 6th, coming up. That is when the results of the presidential election must be certified, the results from the Electoral College. According to House rules, they cannot do any official business without a speaker. And so, technically, by the book, the House cannot take care of the confirmation, certification of the presidential election on the 6th if they don't have a speaker by then. Remember last session, it took 15 votes to finally get House Speaker Kevin McCarthy voted in. Or he was going to get voted in and finally, you know, took care of that. And then Matt Gaetz messed it up a few months later, and that's how we got Johnson. So, number one, just to do the business of certifying the election and getting ready for the inauguration on the 20th of January, we need a speaker in 3 days. Number two, it's just enormously embarrassing as Americans. It shows the lack of functionality to our federal government, particularly under Republican control. And people, listeners of this broadcast know I'm an institution guy. Part of the reason the government works both in federal and state is because of our institutions, of keeping them consistent. And I know, I get it, and they're valid points. Well, you know, the institutions aren't always fair to everyone. People get left out and get left behind. Yes, they're imperfect. But they've kept the country going for almost 250 years. And when institutions break down, that is when you can have extremism creep in from both the right and the left. Institutions keep our units of government somewhat consistent and centrist. So you don't want chaos. Whichever side of the political fence you're on, you don't want chaos. It's just not good for the country. So we shall see. President Donald Trump had to again come out this morning and say that he was all in on Speaker Mike Johnson trying to convince Republicans in the House to once again do his bidding and get Johnson over the line. It is now 91-87 Johnson as the votes continue to be cast. Again, thus far, two of the people, Republicans on the fence for Johnson, have voted for him. Three people, Republicans on the fence, have not voted. They have, I don't want to say abstained yet, because their name was called and they did not answer. They were not on the floor. And in Congress, you have to be on the floor in order to vote. And of course, most votes to the United States House Representative are done electronically by little buttons at their desk. But this particular vote for Speaker is like the votes in the Senate, where it's verbal and called out. So we will continue to monitor that. Also, just as a side note, as someone who worked for a member of the House of Representatives for almost 5 years, and speaking of institutions, this is a big day. Because it's the one time that as a member of the House of Representatives, you were allowed to bring your family and your kids onto the floor of the House. And I was listening to coverage earlier this morning on CNN, and there was one member, this was their third time being elected. And the first time was COVID, so they couldn't do anything then. The second time, it was the whole row with Kevin McCarthy, so they had to send their family home. So this is like, you know, the first time where their family's been able to see them get sworn in. And it's supposed to be a collegial time, a time where it's bipartisan. You're talking about the institution. There's hope. It might be false hope, but at least for a day, there's hope. And once again, there's drama on the Republican side. The vote is now 101-94 as the votes continue to be cast. We'll continue to follow that. Other news today we're going to talk about on the Democratic side. Well, I mean, that this applies to Republicans and Democrats on the House speakership, but obviously it's the Republicans' issue here. They're the majority party. It's their job to elect a speaker. On the Democratic side, news that we should have probably talked about yesterday, but it was a busy news day yesterday as well. Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the United States Senate, has endorsed Wisconsin Democrat Ben Wickler in the race for Democratic National Committee chair. We're going to talk a little bit about that, what that could mean for the state of Wisconsin and Democrats nationwide moving forward. Also in hour two, we're going to have a what's worse for you, your chance to weigh in on the trivial matters of the day. Well, maybe not so trivial. We'll see. And then at 1:34, our friend and ongoing contributor, Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, is going to begin with a more humorous look at the Week in Review. Actual humans doing actual goofy stuff. Also, try to get to a little sports today as well. Did you watch, Zalmers, did you watch the Sugar Bowl last night?
Catch I did that? Not.
It was a heck of a game. Georgia coming in, of course, thought to be the, you know, the winner of the SEC, the big powerful SEC. And Notre Dame took it to them. Notre Dame won 23-10 to eliminate Georgia. Notre Dame goes on now, and they will face Penn State in the Orange Bowl and Texas. SEC champion. No, I'm sorry, I got that turned around. Georgia was the SEC champion. Texas went up. So it's going to be Texas taking on the Ohio State University. So at the Final Four, you get two Big Ten teams, Ohio State and Penn State. Ohio State taking on Texas in the Cotton Bowl, and Penn State taking on Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl. Now, you would think the Cotton Bowl being played in Texas, the Longhorns would have an advantage, but boy, Ohio State looked unstoppable against Oregon. So we'll see how that transpires as well. So there you go, your Final Four set up for next week. It is Texas taking on, for the first game on Friday or Thursday, it'll be Penn State taking on Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl, and then Texas taking on Ohio State on Friday in the Cotton Bowl. The winners of those two will face each other a week later for the national championship game. And, of course, the Packers play this Sunday coming up, taking on the Bears. Broadcast time 10 a.m. on select stations of Civic Media. As Letterman likes to say, I hope one of your stations has been selected. It has been, if you're in Richland Center, Park Falls, or Racine Kenosha. Kickoff around noon. And then tonight, across many of our Civic Media stations, Wisconsin Badger men's basketball gets back underway, taking on the Iowa Hawkeyes in the Kohl Center. 5 p.m. broadcast start for that one. Looking forward to watching that. That can be heard in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. And also, the Badger Sports, of course, can be streamed live and for free on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it today at your Apple or Android device. Type in Civic at the search engine, the search bar. Civic Media, it'll pop up. Takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. There you go. So that's where we're at right now as far as things coming up on Civic Media. Again, the vote continues right now for Speaker of the House. The current count is 128 Johnson, 115 Jeffries. Johnson can only lose one additional vote, as one member has already said they are a firm no. So far, two of the members on the fence have voted for Johnson. Three of the members on the fence are holdouts. Again, not voting, not officially abstaining, just, I don't know, stepped out to the powder room or what have you. Some high drama indeed in Washington with very serious implications. Going to keep track of it. Talk more about what's going on with the Democrats and Ben Wickler. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislator's claim. But importantly, it did so saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a TGIF edition. Friday, January 3rd, 2025, 21 now past the hour of 12 noon, as we are keeping track in real time, live from the House of Representatives in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., as the vote is underway for Speaker of the House between Representative Mike Johnson, the incumbent House Speaker, Republican of Louisiana, and Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York. The vote right now, 151 for Johnson, 138 for Jeffries. You say, well, he's got it in the bag then. No. Because we can tell you now, in real time, Representative Thomas Massey of Kentucky did not vote for Mike Johnson. He voted for Representative Tom Emmer instead. Massey said earlier he would not vote for Johnson to keep the job, and he kept his word. That means that Johnson can only lose one more member and keep the job or go to another vote. Here's the deal. In addition to Massey, who has voted for someone else, so he's a Republican that's already gone in terms of Johnson, three members, and now I believe it's up to five in real time, five members have skipped their turn to vote, putting the chamber into suspense about whether Mike Johnson could secure the votes for chamber on the first ballot for speaker. So far, Andy Biggs, Andrew Clyde, Michael Cloud, and two more were silent when their names were called, though they'll have another chance to vote at the end of roll call. But here's the deal. You got to be careful when you play with fire, because they've already voted present in the quorum call. So that means that they're technically there. So the number of votes to become speaker is at a threshold. If those five people, Republicans, who have not voted yet when their names are called, if they don't say anything, it is, again, I think what's happening here is these members, if you want to know what's going on, these members are saying they're children, they're kindergartners who are folding their arms and saying, look, this is what I want, Speaker Johnson. So either give this to me or I'm not going to vote for you. If those five members, Republicans, don't vote at the end, Hakeem Jeffries, if all the Democrats stick together, Hakeem Jeffries could be elected Speaker of the House. Do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. But it gets real tricky. So what's going on behind the scenes in the hallways of Congress right now, you have Speaker Johnson's staff furiously trying to negotiate with staff of these narcissistic five members of the House to give them what they want in order to vote for Johnson so that Hakeem Jeffries doesn't become speaker here in a few minutes. Wouldn't that just be the cat? Do you know what? If these people mess around, these Republicans then find out. So, I'm sorry if you're not into this, but this is the kind of stuff that I love, the drama of politics. This is, people in the writer's room for the West Wing and all this. This is where the Andy Sorkin, this is where they get it from. It's based on stuff that actually happens.
Well, since you've been in the room for at some level for these kind of events, you understanding it makes it a lot easier for someone like me to understand.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope it does. But you watch on TV, you're like, well, what's going on? This is what's going on. That these five, so far, five Republican members of the House of Representatives are trying to get something. They want a committee chairmanship. They want, something promised in the next budget. I'll say this, to his credit, Speaker Johnson so far has said he's not going to make the deal. And you say, well, why not? Here's why. Because if these five yahoos that are holding out so far five, if you make a deal with them and concede on something, particularly something like a chairmanship or whatever, then if you give it to one person, well, then you've got now you've opened the floodgates and you're open for business, as they say. And then everybody's going to want something. So instead of caving in, Johnson's just saying, at least publicly, now there might be deals going on behind the scenes, particularly for pieces of legislation where Johnson's staff will say, we'll guarantee you that we'll get this bridge in your district. We'll bury it in some omnibus bill, which would probably go fairly unnoticed. But a committee chairmanship or a spot on a committee, that's pretty hard to cover up. People are going to know that something went down if that happens. So we shall see. We shall see what happens there. Going to continue to monitor it right now. What's the vote? 160. It's tied 168-168 between Johnson and Jeffries on the first ballot for Speaker of the House. So far now it says, apparently, and a part of this is difficult to get in real time here, but on the tally at least, there are now two votes for someone else on the tally sheet. So I'm looking up here. So far five members have skipped the vote. Andy Briggs, Andrew Klein, Michael Cloud, Paul Gosar, and Andy Harris were all silent when their names were called. Well, they will have another chance to vote at the end of the call. Mr. Zomers, do you have an update? Now three.
Yes, and Thomas Massey of Kentucky voted for Tom Emmer. Ralph Norman of South Carolina voted for Jim Jordan.
Wow. And now
I don't see the third one yet, but it should show up here.
But now there is a third. So this is breaking news. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House of Representatives, will fail to be reelected as Speaker on the first ballot. And many in Washington, including I was watching earlier, Patrick McHenry, remember him? He was the guy who was the temporary Speaker of the House for all practical terms after Mike Johnson had the vacate vote and was thrown, or not Mike Johnson, Kevin McCarthy. After Kevin McCarthy got thrown out, there was that 20-day-ish period where Patrick McHenry was the Speaker until they elected Mike Johnson. McHenry was saying earlier on CNN that he was predicting that Johnson would win it on the first ballot. And obviously McHenry is plugged in. So this comes as somewhat of a surprise to those quote unquote pundits in the know. Mr. Zomers.
The third, according to New York Times, is Keith Self from Texas, who voted present.
So there you go. Mike Johnson on track to fail in his bid for reelection on the first ballot. Most likely we'll go at least to a second one. Do we have another 15 ballot run here?
I hope not.
High drama on a Friday afternoon. We're going to keep track of it. Going to change gears a little bit as we keep track of this and talk about Democrats and Ben Winkler on the All Balls Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
January 13th and 14th are the dates for the Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic, put on by the Wisconsin Agribusiness Association. A wealth of knowledge coming your way on all things crop protection, nutrient management, and new farm technology. WABA's new executive director, Grace Howe, previews this year's event, starting with its new location.
After being at the Lion Energy Center in Madison for a number of years, we kind of thought it was time to take a fresh start and a new approach to the show. So we've moved to the Kalahari in the Dells. This will be our first year in the Dells. We've got a lot of good industry topics that we'll be speaking on, workforce development being one of them to kind of tie into our priorities for 2025. And then we partner with UW Extension, where they provide some educational offerings as well. So just kind of looking forward to hopefully some enhanced excitement and kind of a new feel, a new layout for the show, and hopefully the momentum stays increased for future years.
Again, the Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic going on January 13th and 14th at the Kalahari Convention Center in the Wisconsin Dells. Grace Howe is the executive director of the Wisconsin Agribusiness Association. Stick around for a look at your midday commodity markets coming up.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Ahead of the weekend, grain markets are taking a hit. From Chicago, cash corn is down 8.25 cents, trading at 4.51 1/4. New crop corn is down 6 cents at 4.40 1/2. Cash soybeans are down 18.25 cents at 9.81 1/4. And November new crop beans are trading 20 cents lower at 10.08 a bushel. July new crop wheat is down 13.5 cents at 5.51 a bushel. The January Class 3 milk contract is trading up a penny at $20.37 a hundredweight. The February contract is down 6 cents at 20.42. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today and cold, with high temperatures tapping 20 degrees and wind chills really feeling more like the single digits as winds are whipping out of the northwest, gusting around 25 miles per hour. They won't quit tonight, so it'll really be feeling near 10 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'll talk the Packer-Bear matchup with Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clements. Then Rob Thomas drops by to talk movies and TV. Now that's a Friday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Yeah, freedom.
wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on Friday, January 3rd, 2025. Taking your phone calls as well, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us on the Civic Media app. We are following in real time right now the election for Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C. between Mike Johnson, Republican incumbent of Louisiana, and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat of New York. And we can report to you now that at least there are three members of the Republican caucus who have voted for someone else. And that means because of the makeup of the House, Mike Johnson could only afford to lose two. He has lost three. That means that he will not be reelected as Speaker on the first ballot. Want to break this down and for a second here and tell you what this means, because obviously now Hakeem Jeffries is going to receive more votes than Mike Johnson. And you say, well, that means Jeffries is Speaker. Not so fast, as Lee Corso says on College Game Day, because Hakeem Jeffries will not have a majority of those present. You have to have a majority of those present in order to be the Speaker. So here's what's going on behind the scenes. Johnson is trying to get these other people who are holding out to vote, say, fine, if you don't want to vote for me, vote for somebody else. Because if they don't vote, that's where, if they simply vote present or don't vote, then Hakeem Jeffries does have the majority. 175 years, the majority party has never not had, to use a double negative, the speakership. Do I think that's going to happen today? Probably not. But look, in today's era, nothing surprises me anymore. However, it would be unexpected. So here's where we're at right now. We have Jeffries with 214, Johnson with 208, three members so far are abstaining or voted for someone else. So we'll, and listening during the break a little bit, or looking at some other commentary, Patrick McHenry, former Republican congressman who served temporarily as Speaker, he said of what's going on right now in Washington, D.C. in the House, the Republican caucus, he said, quote, it's like a dog marking their territory. These members are peeing and letting Jeffries know, or letting Johnson know what that they're in charge and what they want. I thought that was pretty good.
That's
a pretty good analogy. These Republican congressmen are like dogs peeing around the Capitol, marking their territory, saying we're in charge. This is our territory, and this is what we want. So there you go. We shall see what happens. Going to continue to follow it. Chuck, the Chuckster from Racine, listening via WMDX, says, U.S. House vote for Speaker. What about Texas Representative Kay Granger, who has been absent the last 6 months, living her life in a Texas memory care unit? Is she voting? Should she? This is important business, and America trusts and expects Congress to get things right, not unlike whether it's roughing the kicker and 15-yard penalty or just running into him at the 5-yard line. Here's what I can tell you, Chuckster. And great question, by the way. Representative Kay Granger, Republican of Texas, she did not run for re-election. So, yes, it's true. She did not show up to work, missed a bunch of votes the last few months of her term because she's in memory care. But she was not on the ballot to run for re-election. So her term technically expired today at noon Eastern time. So this vote for representative for speaker is only those newly elected members for this new Congress. So that's what's going on right now. It's high drama. It's rather fun to watch, if I have to say, in my opinion, because these things matter. And we shall see. Again, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, if you would like to weigh in on this vote as it continues. So the first round of voting is done so far.
Yeah, it looks like the only holdouts who didn't vote at all are Andrew Clyde from Georgia and Paul Gosar from Arizona.
All right. So that means the vote was 214 Jeffries, 211 Johnson, and three other people voted for someone else. So Johnson is not elected, but because those other members apparently came back in and did vote, neither Hakeem Jeffries is not elected either. So anyway, we'll continue to follow this ongoing drama. And looking at Kevin McCarthy's face right now on TV, he is not
Mike Johnson.
Or Mike Johnson, pardon me. Mike Johnson. It looks very much like Kevin McCarthy's face a few months ago. Not happy at all. Here's some news, Wisconsin Public Radio. Chuck Schumer has endorsed Senator Chuck Schumer, Democratic leader, still the Democratic leader, at least for a couple more hours over in the Senate, has endorsed Wisconsin Democratic Chair Ben Wickler for the race as the DNC chair. Story here from Wisconsin Public Radio. As he vies to lead the Democratic National Committee, Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler has gained an endorsement from the top Democrat in the U.S. Senate. In a statement yesterday morning, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat in New York, hailed Wickler, quote, as one of the best state party chairs in the country and said he's what Democrats need right now, unquote, on a national level. Schumer went on to say, quote, Ben possesses all the qualities Democrats across the country are looking for in our next DNC chair. He's a tenacious organizer, one of the best organizers in the country, a proven fundraiser, a sharp communicator, and able to reach out to all segments of the Democratic Party. Most importantly, he knows how to win, unquote. Now, that is absolutely true. If you look at the turnaround in terms of Democratic wins in the state of Wisconsin, it really began when Ben Wickler became chairman of the state party here in Wisconsin. Wickler has chaired the Democratic Party of Wisconsin since 2019. Before that, he worked as a senior advisor and Washington director at the progressive advocacy group MoveOn.org. On December 1st, weeks after the Republicans won the presidency and control of the U.S. House and Senate, Wickler announced his intention to run to become the next chair of the Democratic National Party. In an interview with Wisconsin Today, Wickler likened Republicans' recent victories nationally to Wisconsin in 2010, when former Republican Governor Scott Walker was elected and Republicans controlled all branches of state government. Wickler said the Democratic Party of Wisconsin was successful in pushing back with the elections of Democratic Governor Tony Evers in 2018 and liberal Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz in 2023. Which put liberals in control of the court for the first time in 15 years. That led to Republican-drawn state legislative voting maps being struck down by the court and new maps drawn by Evers being passed into law early last year. And while Republican President-elect Donald Trump won Wisconsin in November, Wickler has pointed to Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin keeping her seat, along with state Democrats flipping 14 seats in the Wisconsin legislature. What are your thoughts on Ben Wickler? What are your thoughts on Chuck Schumer endorsing Ben Wickler for chair of the DNC? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Look, I said early on, this would be one of the smartest questions you could possibly, or one of the smartest things Democrats could possibly do, right? Elect Ben Wickler as their leader. Because he's gotten it done. Here's another quote from the story in the Wisconsin Public Radio article. Wickler said, quote, We need to have a national party that can organize in the fight for working people in every state across this country with the same kind of intensity and focus that we've been able to bring to the work in Wisconsin, especially over these last few years, and building on years of work before that, unquote. Wickler said he wants to unite the Democratic National Committee in focusing on all elections, not just presidential contests. Wickler said, quote, this is not about showing up every 4 years. It's about a permanent campaign. And I think we've shown that in Wisconsin right now. We have our state Supreme Court race this spring, Susan Crawford versus Brad Schimmel. That is a must-win race. And we're going to fight to win that. And we should be doing the same thing in every state, unquote. And here's maybe the line of the article here in the Wisconsin Public Radio news story. Says, after a bruising year for Democrats, Wickler said the DNC needs to clarify its message by, quote, using language that people actually use in real life, not just what feels like a political ad, unquote, while meeting young voters where they are on platforms like YouTube, TikTok, Discord, and podcasts. Let me read that quote again. Because it's so refreshing, to hear a leader of Democrats say this. Wickler said, quote, that the DNC needs to clarify its message by, quote, using language that people actually use in real life, not just what feels like a political ad, unquote. Be relevant. And look, my grandmother was a dean of university college. I'm all for academia. I'm all for higher ed. But too often, the Democratic Party leaders and some of their followers like to get into academia speak. And the low-hanging fruit on this one is the word Latinx. Instead of using the common phrase that Latino and Hispanic people actually use, which are Latino, Latina. People, predominantly white people on college universities and ivory towers said, no, we need to make a word up called Latinx because it includes everyone of every type of, you know, right down the list. Nobody uses it within the Latino, very few people use that in the Latino community. And a lot of people find it offensive and off-putting that a white person came up with a politically correct term for their culture. But that's just the low-hanging fruit. You can replicate that through a lot of very high-end academia progressive speech. Meanwhile, Donald Trump talks like the guy at the end of the bar. And if you think that's just a former Republican having that perception, i.e. me, I am not. I mean, clearly Ben Wickler gets it. When he's been on this program, he doesn't talk like an academia, politically correct person. He talks like a real guy. Brian Schatz, Democratic U.S. Senator from Hawaii, in a great article by Politico, is saying the same thing. The headline in Politico says, Brian Schatz to Democrats, please stop with quote-unquote center and quote-unquote making space. This gets more into it. He's basically saying, I'm paraphrasing now, but he's basically saying, you know, Democrats have started using the word center as a verb. What we're going to do here is we're going to center issue X. Nobody talks like that.
Doesn't mean anything to anybody outside your group.
Right. That's a much better way to put it. There are people that talk like that, but it's not broad and it's not appealing to the average voter across the state of Wisconsin. What do you think about this? Are Democrats speaking correctly to the majority of the electorate? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Back with more on the other side, including with the ongoing race for Speaker of the House. Johnson fails to get the vote on the first round. We're going to round two on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Paddle Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 now before the hour of 1 o'clock on this Friday, January 3rd, 2025. Coming up at hour 2, a little what's worse for you, your chance to call in. And Zahmer said this one kind of ties into what we're talking about right now. So we'll talk about that. And also Peter Rapine at the bottom of next hour, a little lighter look at the week in review. Again, updating this, Speaker Mike Johnson has lost his bid in the first round of voting to retain his gavel and Speaker of the House. That means we're going to at least a round 2. We'll continue to update it in real time. We're have it up on the screen. Right now you see Marjorie Taylor Greene doing some lobbying on the House floor with members who voted against Johnson. Now, is that the person you want lobbying for you? I'm not sure.
I certainly wouldn't think so. Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, like a minute or two ago, Mike Johnson left the building, or at least the room. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he's doing some private chats or if he's like, yeah. I need to
probably take the edge off. Some private arm wringing. Maybe making a call to Trump to have them call it. You know, right, all kinds of things in the cloakroom and going on right now to try to get votes. Talking about a little bit about this article from Wisconsin Public Radio, Chuck Schumer, Democratic leader in the Senate, endorsing Wisconsin Democrat Ben Wickler for the race for the DNC, and Democratic U.S. Senator Brian Schatz in a great interview with Politico, came out a couple of days ago, saying that Democrats need to stop with center and making space. Talking about language, I'm going to read you a little bit of this. Your phone calls welcome, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I'll tell you what I'm cutting through this just for time. But the interviewer in Politico asked Senator Schatz, Democrat of Hawaii, said Bernie, meaning Bernie Sanders, is going to carry the banner for Bernie no matter if you win 400 electoral votes or lose 400 electoral votes. And Senator Schatz said, right, because if we won, that's because Kamala adopted the 5 things that I demanded she adopted. And likewise, the center left folks who want to blame all this on pro-Palestinian activists or police reform activists. That is all BS to me. I cleaned it up for radio. The third piece that I think I know is the question of language. And of course, all these overlap with each other. But I saw an argument online that Latinx is the easy one, and it's also easy to push back on because it's just the fact that you can scarcely find a politician who says Latinx. But that's not the point. The point is we have a whole language that's maybe not offensive or irritating, but definitely unfamiliar to regular people. Again, these are the words of U.S. Democratic Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii. He goes on to say, quote, I think Kamala did a really good job of focusing on middle-class concerns, but I remember her saying, I'm going to center the needs of the working class. And I thought to myself, I don't know anyone in the world who says center. I know people who say, in politics, who say center. I know people in academia. I know people in advocacy who say center. But centering the needs or making space for all of that is a clear indication that you are not normal. And I put myself in that category. By definition, I'm a coastal progressive. And I'm going to skid. Here's the paragraph that I thought was really, really insightful by Brian Schatz, Democratic senator from Hawaii. He said, quote, but I think this question of language goes pretty deep. And it goes to not just being careful not to say things that are egregiously weird sounding, but it's also the way we interact with advocacy groups. I remember saying I was for a cessation of hostilities in Israel and Palestine. And people said, why don't you say ceasefire? I'm thinking that's literally the same thing. I remember saying I was for a big, bold climate bill. And people said, why don't you say Green New Deal? And this idea that there are magic words that we must be forced to say defines progressivism and political courage by essentially saying whatever a bunch of activists wants to say as opposed to what's just doing the right thing. And I think there are a bunch of people who see that what we're doing as performative for the exact reason. But that's also just alienating. The magic word thing has got to go away, unquote. The words from Brian Schatz, Democrat of Hawaii. And it goes right back to what Trigvi Olsen says time and again in this program. There are people who want to be in politics and there are people who want to do. And Brian Schatz is a Democrat who clearly wants to do. And he's basically saying, let's forget about all the, you know, somebody who wants to be or organizations that want to be and be the word police and use certain words. Let's just get stuff done. And it's so refreshing to hear people like Ben Wickler and Brian Schatz, who, by the way, have very little of any white in their hair. Younger people who get it. And these are not quote unquote conservative folks, I don't think. But they're more enlightened people who understand that if their party, the Democrats, are going to connect with a majority or a plurality of voters, you have to sound like and talk like the people that you want to vote for you and not alienate them. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Welcome your phone calls, welcome your texts on the subject. And another leader the Democrats need to listen to more, in my opinion, Hakeem Jeffries, who's clearly getting it done today. He kept all of his members on the ranch. Nobody went and voted absentee. Nobody went and voted present. Nobody voted for somebody else. All the Democratic members in the House have voted for Hakeem Jeffries. That cannot be said for Republicans and Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson has failed to become Speaker of the House in the first ballot, going to ballot number two. Gonna have that. What's worse? And Peter Rapine, don't go anywhere. Hour two is straight ahead, the Todd Lowball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney and host of Amicus, a law review, James Santel joins me. Was Merrick Garland the worst AG ever? Plus, updates on the speaker's race and the Wisconsin Election Commission investigation. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, House Speaker election. I'm Mike Dubusky. Louisiana Republican Mike Johnson is on track to lose the first ballot in his bid for the House speakership, with Republicans Thomas Massie and Ralph Norman voting for other candidates. ABC's Jay O'Brien says the Massie vote was expected.
There's already one Republican who's come out and said he's a firm no vote, Thomas Massie, who says despite Donald Trump endorsing Johnson and doubling down on that endorsement, it's not going to move his vote. Here's what he told me.
Are you defying Donald Trump here by voting no?
No, I'm trying to help him. Look, I did.
He said back Johnson.
8 years ago, he said back Paul Ryan. I was the only one that voted against Paul Ryan, and we see how that turned out for the president. I'm trying to help him out here.
Massie instead cast his ballot for Tom Emmer of Minnesota. Norman voted for Jim Jordan. Johnson earlier told ABC News that losing the first ballot is nothing and that he's in this for the long haul. This is ABC News.